And then in a few moments, we'll be in the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I want to remind you that God really wants to bless you. We have a little saying that oftentimes we often say to someone, God bless you. But we're finding out that that's more than a saying, isn't it? And that is that God really does want to bless us. And that it's really the most, the God's blessing is really what we need above everything else. That is, that more than we need material things, more than we need other resources in our life, we need His blessing. And if His blessing involves material blessings, then that is fine. But oftentimes the greatest blessings are our spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. And then there are also relational blessings that we have in our relationships with others along with the material blessings. But the blessing of the Lord, the Bible says, it maketh rich. Those who are blessed by God are wealthy. They are rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. What we've been discovering is that there are some doors that we have to step through if you and I are going to experience the blessings of God. And that is that there are many blessings that we will not experience unless we step through those doors. And then there are many blessings that we will not experience in their fullness unless we step through the doors that God has provided for us. And of course, the first door is the door of salvation. And that is, you have to be saved. And those who are saved, you've stepped through that door. And you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. And God has blessed you if you're saved. But after you're saved, there are other doors that God places before you, and you can step through them and discover blessings on the other side of those doors. The door of supplication, that is a prayer. And there is the door of obedience. If you'll listen to God and obey Him, He will bless you. There's the door of humility, that is, God brings us low so that He might lift us up, so that He might be able to bless us. There's the door of giving. It's more blessed to give than to receive. There's the door of repentance, and that is when believers have sin in their life, God wants us to repent as His people so that we can eat the good of the land. Remember, you're either going to eat or be eaten, and it's all depending on whether you repent of your sin or not. There's the door of repentance. I've talked to you about the door of separation last week, and that is that the Bible indicates to us right here in Psalm 1 that those who are blessed, the blessed man, blessed is the man, the one who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, he doesn't stand in the way of sinners, he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, he's the man set apart from what is sinful, set apart from what is secular. We took some time to examine what it means to be set apart and to be separated in the services last week. And so we began looking this morning at another door. And that, of course, is the door of Scripture. Right here in Psalm 1, we discovered in verse number 2 that the man that God blesses, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night. That is, there is the door of Scripture. And those whose delight is in the law of the Lord, that is, in the Word of God and the revelation that God has given to us, and so much so they are so delighted in the Word that it becomes their meditation. That is what they're saying back to themselves or thinking about day and night. They're thinking about the Word of God. It is on their mind because they delight in the Word. I exhausted that idea this morning. And that is that, listen, what it means to delight in the law of the Lord. We look to some verses in Psalm 119 especially that describe to you and I how wonderful the Word of God is to those who delight in the law of the Lord. That it's more important than our food, and it's more important than our finances. It's more important than our sleep. That we love the Word of God more than we love any of those things. That we value and treasure God's revelation to us above everything else in our life. That we are delighting in the law of the Lord so that it becomes our meditation day and night. And if that is true, that is, if we're delighting in the Lord, then the Bible says that we'll be like a tree. We'll be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. Now listen, if you want to be a blessed tree, then you get planted by the rivers of water. Amen. And not only did it get planted by the rivers of water, but according to verse number 3, it produced fruit in its season. And the Bible says that that the leaf did not wither. You're talking about a tree that is blessed. It's by the rivers of water, so it has a constant source of life. And its leaf never withers, and it always bears fruit, and never a season when it doesn't bear fruit. It is a picture of the blessed of all trees. And that is the picture that God is giving of us. And God wants you to prosper, the Bible says. He wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you and bless you in your life. And He will if you will become a man or woman whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. If you want to be blessed, then listen to me now. The Word of God is the door. The Scripture is the door that you got to step through. And that is the Word of God becoming central to your life, the focus of your life, the love of your life, and the hunger of your heart like a newborn babe desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, like a baby desiring milk, God's people desiring His Word. What a vivid picture that is for those of you that remember the little ones who, when they get so hungry, they begin to cry and they begin to squall and they're upset and they're crying a little bit harder. And if you don't have that bottle ready quickly, they are in a rage. Amen. All the mama said. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. This and God's people ought to be that way. And that is the Word of God should be such a the hunger of our soul that, listen to me now, if we haven't been in the Word and haven't been hearing the Word, that there's something on the inside of us that is crying out for God's Word. It is not just our duty, but it becomes our delight. That is not our duty to read the Bible, our delight to read the Bible. Not just our duty to study the Bible, it is our delight to study the Bible. It's not just our duty to have to hear the Bible being taught or preached, but it is our delight. We cannot wait. Our souls are crying out for the Word. Let me just say to you now that if your soul is not delighting in the Word of God, then there is something spiritually wrong with us. There's something that is not right. And listen to me now, you're going to miss out on some of the blessings. There are many blessings that God has for you that are hidden right here in the wisdom of this great book. And listen, if you're not in the Word and the Word's not alive in you, then you're going to miss out on some of the blessings that God has for your life. There's a door set before you. It is the door of Scripture. And God wants you to step through that door so that you can be the blessed man that we read about in Psalm 1. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a great example in the New Testament of how the Scriptures can indeed open the doors of blessing in a person's life. The example that I'm talking about is the example of a young man named Timothy. If you're over in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, you'll discover there that Paul is writing to Timothy, and as he's writing to him, he's writing to a young man whose life, whose heart has been saturated with the Word of God. And the Bible tells us there that from the time that he was a child, that his focus had been on the Word of God. And now we find that Paul is writing to him in this second letter to him. And let me remind you that in this second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul is under arrest the second time. And this time he has been sentenced to be executed. He knows the time of his execution is near. The time of my departure, he said, is at hand. He knows that he's going to die soon. He's writing to Timothy. He's getting him ready for the last days. And in this third chapter, he's been writing to him about the last days. He talks about the fact that in the last days, they will be perilous times, dangerous times. As the last days continue to progress, it is going to be dangerous and it will be perilous. He tells him that the people become more wicked than they have ever been as the last days continue to progress. Men will be lovers of their own selves. And he describes what that's going to be like as the last days progress. He talks about the persecution and the affliction that's going to come not only upon the Apostle Paul, but all who live godly in Christ Jesus. He tells us in this chapter, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. He tells us that evil men and seducers will get worse and worse as we approach the last days, deceiving and being deceived. And so having told Timothy all of that, he tells him, but you, Timothy, you stay with the Word of God. Amen. You stay with the Scriptures, that is, with the Word of God that has been given to you, and that is that even though everything around you is going to get rough, even though it's going to get tough, even though persecution is going to break out, as the last days continue to progress, you stay with the Word of God. Notice in verse number 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You just stay with the Word of God. Verse 15 says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That is the Holy Writings. That is primarily referring to the Old Testament. But we know that it is also understood in this era that the New Testament books, that is Paul's writings also and others, are indeed the Word of God. That is, Timothy, you've been learning the Word of God and you've been hearing the Word of God. You just continue on in the Word. The idea of continuing here is the idea of not giving up. That he's going to face difficult times, and in difficult times it is sometimes tempting to give up. That is, to quit. Sometimes when husbands and wives are facing difficult times, sometimes they're tempted to give up on the marriage. Sometimes when parents face difficult time with their children, they're tempted to give up on them, sometimes too quickly. When employees are facing difficult times on the job, they often are tempted to quit and not go back to the jobs that they had. Sometimes whenever you and I, as we walk with God and live for God and serve God, sharing the Word of God, sometimes opposition begins to mount. Sometimes persecution comes. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, there are difficulties that come into our lives. And some folks may be tempted to give up on God, may just say, you know what, I am just going to quit on God. And the reason why is because it may not be physical persecution, but it may be that there's been an attack on your life. It may be that there are those who have come against you in some way. It may be that something happened that you didn't like. It may have been something happened that was completely wrong. And you just throw up your hands and say, you know what, if it's going to be that way, then I am just going to quit. There is the temptation to want to give up living for God. And listen to me now, whenever God's people been living for God are under pressure, that is, whenever they're living for God and under pressure, sometimes it's tempting to believe that if I quit, the pressure will be off. There are many different reasons why people want to quit on serving God. Timothy might have been tempted. That is, when he looked at Paul, who was now in jail, that's going to be executed, and knowing that he was next in line, so to speak, that he was the one who was going to take over the leadership reins whenever Paul left. And if Paul was arrested, would Timothy be arrested? If Paul was executed, would Timothy be next? Would he be the one that would be executed next? Those things were running through his mind. Those are things that he was thinking about. And that's the reason why Paul had to write to him. And he told him, now listen, Timothy, don't you give into a spirit of fear. That hasn't come from God. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but love and power and a sound mind. He has to encourage him. And that's what he's doing in this book. And here's what he's saying. No matter what happens, you stay with the Word of God. Stay with the Scriptures and don't quit. And do not give up. Take counsel and find refuge in the Bible. We looked at a verse this morning in Psalm 119 that encourages us in that same way. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 119. And listen to what it says in verses 23 and 24. It says, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes, and thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. In other words, the author of Psalm 119 is telling us that even though there were those who were coming against him, officials coming against him, princes coming against him, he said, I took refuge and counsel in your word. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy in the New Testament. Timothy, things are going to get bad and they're going to get hard. But listen to me now, you can find refuge, you can find help, you can find what you need in the Word of God, in the Scriptures. That is, there's a door setting before you, Timothy. It is the Word of God. You just stick with the Bible. You just keep on reading the Bible. You keep on studying the Bible. You keep on teaching the Bible and preaching the Bible and believing the Bible and standing on the Scriptures. That is the Word of God. And you just stick with the Bible, and you'll find then that God will supply exactly what it is that you need. If you'll stay with the Bible, that is, with the Word of God, believing it and standing on it and teaching it, then you'll find out that God will bless you with everything that you need. And I believe that's still true, don't you? I believe it's still true. You say, well, Pastor, what is it that God would bless him with? Well, let me just say, first of all, some of the blessings that come from Scripture. Number one, I would just word it this way. The first blessing is the blessing of education. The blessing of education. Notice what the Bible says in verse 14, 2 Timothy 3, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Oh, Timothy was a learned man, wasn't he? That's what the Bible tells us here, that he was a learned man. In other words, he was an educated young man. But we don't know exactly what his background was as far as a secular education, for sure. But we do know this, and that is that he was educated in the Word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe, and I would contend for those of you that have children that are still in school age, I would contend that a person hasn't been fully educated until they've been educated in the Word of God. And that is that no matter what kind of schooling they get, no matter what kind of high school or college or whatever they decide to do in life, that listen to me now, unless a person really has learned the Word of God, that they're missing out educationally. Their education is not complete. They may learn everything that there is about the field of study that they're in, but if they don't have a basic knowledge of the Bible, the Word of God, then, ladies and gentlemen, it is an incomplete education. And I believe the most important thing to learn is the Bible. As a matter of fact, my understanding is that before my time anyway, maybe a few of you might remember that there was a time when the Bible was one of the main textbooks for education in this country. People learned how to read from the Bible. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that you ought to learn the Bible. That's what Timothy did when the Bible says here that he learned the Word. That is, that he learned the Word of God. It just indicates to us that he had been hearing the Word. And that is, what I mean is that he had been listening intently to what it is that had been taught in the Word of God. He was listening to the Bible as it was being taught. I'm going to say that again. He was listening. You can't learn if you don't listen. Now listen, all the young people that are here, if you want to learn what's being taught in your class, your first step is to listen to what the teacher's teaching. And if you want to learn what the Bible says, the first thing you got to do is listen to what is being said. If you don't listen, you're not going to learn. So you got to hear the Word of God. You got to hear what God is saying. I'm not talking about coming to Sunday school and church just out of obligation and hear what is said, but you couldn't say anything about it after you heard it. I'm talking about listening. Listening to what God is saying through His Word. And listen, you can't learn anything if you're not present to listen. You're going to miss out on what God is saying if you're not there to hear. You got to read the Bible. You got to listen to what is being taught in the Word of God. Listen, those who are learners, first of all, are listeners. They're hearing what is being said. But also a learner is someone who comprehends the truth. And what's being highlighted for us here is Timothy's comprehension. And that is that he not only heard the Word, but he understood the Word of God. Now listen, there are some parables that Jesus told, and the emphasis on those parables is the importance of hearing and understanding the Word of God. It's important to understand it. That is to comprehend what it is that is being said. Now listen, if you're going to comprehend what's being said, then you're going to have to think about it. Now I know this is a little bit difficult for us, right? In other words, you might come in and you might listen to your Sunday school teacher teach or your discipleship training teacher or your pastor preach and you say, I just didn't get all of that. Well, listen to me now. You might want to, I'm going to sit down and think about it for a few moments. That's what the word meditate means, and that is I'm going to work on this in my mind. I'm going to think about this, and I don't have to be spoon fed all the time. I'm not a little baby anymore, and that is that I can chew on this a little while. Amen. It's like a big steak. I'll chew on it for a little while. I don't have to just eat the applesauce all the time. I can eat a steak once in a while. Something you have to chew on and work on before you can swallow it. And listen to me now. You ought to be the same way. And that is that you and I ought to graduate from the milk to the meat of the word. So that we can work on, so that we can be taught and we can digest and think about it, so that we can also maybe teach it to somebody else, so we can process it in our minds so that we'll be able to teach it to somebody else. Now that's what Timothy is being required to do. Paul is saying to Timothy, what I'm telling you, you're going to have to teach to others. And listen to me now, when you know that, then you know that you're going to have to get a hold of this. You can't teach something that you haven't thought through and processed in your mind. God wants you to think about things. He doesn't want you just to be spoon-fed all the time. He wants you to process that information so that you can understand it. so that you can apply it to your life, so that you can remember it, so that you can meditate on it like we saw in Psalm 1. This guy, Timothy, was doing that. He was like the Psalm 1 man, wasn't he? And that is, he loved the Word of God, he'd been taught the Word of God, and he had learned it. And what that tells me is this: he not only heard the Word of God, but he had been meditating on the Word. He'd been thinking about it, processing it in his mind, so that he understood it. Now listen, there's not a person in this room. You say, "Pastor, I just don't understand the Bible." Listen to me now, that probably means one of two things. Either you're not saved or you're not trying to walk with God at all. Because I believe that you have all the ability you need to be able to understand the Bible. Amen? Listen to me now. If you understand how to run a remote control, you can understand the Bible. You've got the intelligence. I'm saying you have the intelligence to do it. If you'll listen and learn. That's the idea in this passage. When he tells us here that he was educated, learned the Word of God, it means that he was hearing the Word, he was comprehending the Word. It means that he was convicted of the truth of the Word. The Bible tells us that here in verse 14. It says, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned," notice now, "and hast been assured of." He not only heard the Word, he not only comprehended the Word, but the Bible tells us here that he was assured of the Word. Now, the idea of being assured of the Word means this. It means that the truth that had been taught to Timothy, that he had come to a personal conviction about its truth. That is, he had assurance that what he had been taught was indeed the truth. Now, listen to me. You and I are exposed to a lot of ideas. Some of those ideas and things that we have been taught, we know to be true. That is, we are completely convinced that they are true. And as Timothy heard the Word of God being taught by the Apostle Paul and others in his life, he was convicted of its truth. He was assured of his truth. That is, he knew that Jesus really was the Christ. That's what he'd been hearing. That as Paul came to his little town of Lystra and been preaching that Jesus is the Christ. That he died on the cross. And listen, this young man, Timothy, as he's hearing the Word of God, he believes and is convicted or convinced by the Holy Spirit in his heart that it's really true, that Jesus is the Christ, that he really did die on that cross for us, sacrificial death, gloriously resurrected, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Listen, Paul preached about sin, and he realized and was convinced or convicted by the Holy Spirit that he was indeed a sinner, and that Jesus was the only one who could save him. That is, as he heard the Word, he was assured of its truth. He became convicted that this really is the truth. That's the point that we're trying to get across here. That is, he heard the Word from Paul. And as he's hearing the Word of God, something's happening in his heart. On the inside of him, there's a work of God going on in Timothy's life so that what he hears with his ears and he comprehends with his mind, he is convinced of in his heart. And he knows that he's lost. He knows that he's a sinner. He knows that Christ died on the cross. He knows that he died for our sins. He knows that he's raised the third day. And he's convinced of its truth. The Thessalonians had a similar kind of experience in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 5. Listen to what Paul wrote to them about when he came to the city of Thessalonica preaching the gospel. Here's what he wrote. 1 Thessalonians 1, 5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." That is, just like Timothy, when Paul came to the city of Thessalonica, and he began to preach the gospel, ladies and gentlemen, there was something more than a theological lesson and explanation. There was a working and a moving of the Holy Spirit in that city. And as he was preaching, the Spirit of God began to work on them, and they were convinced, that is, there was much assurance. They were convinced that what they were hearing was indeed the truth. You've often heard me talk about the convicting work, the convincing work of the Holy Spirit. Every genuine Christian has had that experience. As they hear the gospel with their ears and comprehend it with their minds, there's a deep work of the Spirit that goes on the inside in which they are convinced of its truth in their hearts, resulting in assurance. This is why Paul is commanding Timothy to continue in the Word, to continue believing and standing and preaching and proclaiming the truth, because he knew that Timothy had been convinced of it, that the gospel that he heard was really the truth. One of the reasons why that he was convinced is because, according to verse number 14, he knew of whom he had learned them. That is, he knew Paul, and also his mother, and also his grandmother. According to chapter 1 and verse number 5, his mother and grandmother was instrumental in teaching him the Word of God as a small child. And then, of course, the Apostle Paul came and to the little city where he was at and began to preach the gospel as well. Timothy's mother and grandmother heard the gospel, were convinced in their heart, believed the gospel, and he himself, Timothy, also embraced Christ as the Lord of his life as well. That is, he knew his mother and grandmother. He knew the Apostle Paul. And he was convinced that what they were telling him was indeed the truth. He learned the Word of God. Now listen to me now. One of the great blessings in your life, one of the great blessings in your life that comes from the Scripture is the blessing of education. That's right. Listen to me now. If you'll just read and study and learn the Word of God, you can be more educated and smarter than many university professors. Yeah. You know Dr. So-and-so down at the university? You know him, don't you? Dr. So-and-so. Did you know that he doesn't even know where the world came from? He doesn't know. Now, there's some theories out there, and he's probably embraced one of those theories and may teach that theory as though it is true, even though it has not been proven. But you know how the world got here, don't you? And you know it to be true. As a matter of fact, you are convinced of it. Amen. And the reason why is because you've read Genesis chapter number 1 and chapter number 2. And you've heard them preach and you've heard them taught. And listen, little Timothy, he had been taught that as well. Do you know from the time that he was a little child, even before he heard about Jesus, Mama and Grandma had already been teaching him. They had been teaching him about the book of Genesis, that is, the Pentateuch. Remember Moses' writings? And that is that one day God created the heavens and the earth, and the Bible says that within a six-day period, all that we have as far as life is concerned, that God created the morning and the evening were the first day, the morning and the evening were the... Listen to me now. The Bible indicates to us, and Moses said, well, was that a long period? No, listen, Moses wrote it, and when Moses wrote, the evening and the morning was exactly what it still is today. He knew what it was. And God created everything that exists, ladies and gentlemen. And listen, if you know that and you're convinced of it and you're willing to stand on that truth, believe that truth and stand on it and not waver from it, then listen to me now. You are more educated than many people in this country that teach in elite universities. You are. You're educated. And that's what Timothy had been learning. Do you know that Timothy had not only been learning about the creation of the world, but also Timothy had been learning about the fall of man? That's right. Back there in the book of Genesis, his mother and grandmother would have been teaching him not only about the creation, but also about Adam and Eve and how Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden and how that Eve ate the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and therefore sin came into the world. And now we know that as a result of that sin, the death came into the world, corruption came into the world. Do you know that Timothy understood that? That is, he was educated in what the problem is. Now listen to me. Now we have politicians all over this country that are trying to figure out the problem, let alone the solution. They haven't even got down to where the problem is at yet. But you already know what the problem is. You're more educated than the political elites of our day, because you know what the problem is, don't you? It's sin. It's the corruption that sin has brought into our world. We know what's at the heart of the crime problem in our country, don't we? It is sin. What I'm trying to get you to see, that if you'll get into the Word, you can get educated. Timothy probably got educated as a little boy when he heard about the creation of the world. And he probably got educated as a little boy when he heard about the fall of man. He probably got educated when he heard about the judgment of God. You say, what do you mean? Well, right there in the book of Genesis, we discover that the Bible tells us that man, after the fall, became so wicked over a period of time. He became so sinful and so wicked, ladies and gentlemen, that there wasn't anybody righteous. There wasn't anybody except for Noah. I mean, just Noah and his family, that was it. And there was an intermarriage of the ungodly with the godly, and the children were corrupted as a result. And listen, the ungodliness spread throughout the human race. Corruption got so bad that God decided that he was going to destroy all of humanity, and he sent a flood. You remember the flood, don't you? Sure. The judgment of God fell. Now listen, God had grace and mercy on Noah and his family and had them build an ark. And the ark, of course, lifted them up out of the flood waters. But the judgment of God fell. Now you know that story. And listen to me now. Then you know something that many people, many of the religious leaders in our nation don't know. There are many church leaders with all kinds of doctrines behind their name that do not believe in the judgment of God. They don't believe in eternal suffering. Don't believe in a fiery hell. Don't believe in a lake of fire. Religious elites. You say, well, I believe it. That's because you've read it in the Bible. And you're convinced that it's true. And therefore, you're more educated than some of the seminary-educated religious leaders of our day. Because you have been in this Word. You understand something about the judgment of God. Amen. Listen to me now. Timothy would have learned about that. Something else Timothy would have learned out in the Bible as he's being taught the Word of God. He would have understood something about the blood sacrifice, wouldn't he? Why, sure, he would have read from Genesis 3 where God killed an animal and clothed Adam and Eve with the skins of that animal to cover their nakedness, the shame, the corruption of their sin. Well, he would have read right there in the Pentateuch and the writings of Moses. He would have read about the sacrifices that were offered. Abraham built an altar and offered sacrifices to God. And he would have read about the law that was given at Mount Sinai and all the elaborate sacrifices and the requirements of the sacrifices that were to be offered within the Jewish legal system. He would have read all of that. And having read all of that, he would have understood this truth. And that is that blood that was shed in those sacrifices had to be taken inside that Holy of Holies and by the high priest on the Day of Atonement, and that blood would be sprinkled there on the Holy of Holies, on the mercy seat, to atone for the sins of the people. And he would have understood that it takes the shedding of innocent blood to deal with the sins of humanity. That the only thing, that, ladies and gentlemen, that will cover the sins of humanity, the only answer to what our problem is the sacrifice, that is the substitutionary sacrifice that pictured Christ who came and died for us on the cross. Now you already know that, don't you? That the only thing that will deal with the sin problem is the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. But I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that there are many who have been educated throughout our country who do not know that. Just don't know it. And that is that they believe this, and that is that the problem that we have could be settled with just a little behavior modification. That is, maybe a little behavioral therapy will be able to help you to be able to come out of your mess and live a better life. Well, it might help a little, but it won't deal with your sin problem. It might be a band-aid on a bigger problem, because deep on the inside of us, ladies and gentlemen, is a heart that is sinful and corrupt. And the only thing that will atone for our sin is the blood of the Lamb that was shed at Calvary's cross. Now you know that, so that means this. You're more educated than many educated people in our country. Oh, listen, Timothy understood that there was a Messiah coming who would be our Savior. Sure. Well, right there in Genesis 3, God spoke. And when he cursed the serpent, he said that there's coming a day when the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent and his heel will be bruised. And of course, we know that that is a prophecy looking forward from the early pages of the Bible, to the fact that there would be one who would be born of a woman. And of course, we know he was. Well, we're getting ready to celebrate that, aren't we? Well, the scene at Bethlehem was, ladies and gentlemen, prophesied from the earliest chapters of the book of Genesis. The seed of the woman who came. And we find that he entered enemy territory, the devil's territory. Why, did you know he took away the devil's captives? There were people that were possessed by demons who were on the verge of complete destruction by that demonic activity, and Jesus set them free. He freed them. demonstrating his power and authority over the devil and over the demons. The Spirit of God led him up into a wilderness, and up in that wilderness, Jesus was tempted by the devil for some 40 days. Remember that story? And oh, our Lord, on the other side of the battle, our Lord was victorious. Every time. We have three accounts of him coming against our Lord and tempting him with all the kingdoms of the world, tempting him to make a stone into bread, tempting him to jump off the pinnacle of the temple, ladies and gentlemen, and the angels would carry him up and lest he dash his foot against a stone. He was tempting our Lord to make an open demonstration of himself for everybody to see. And Jesus did not yield, not even once. Completely victorious over the enemy. Listen, Timothy would have understood something about the coming of that Messiah, that Savior, who would completely defeat the enemy. Why, he would have understood that when the suffering servant comes, that he'll die an agonizing sacrificial death. And you know the reason why? Because Mama probably taught him Isaiah 53. Oh, yes. About how he'd be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. You see, throughout our country, there are many people that believe that Jesus is a good example to follow if you want to live a better life. But you understand that there was more to the Son of God than just an example to live a better life. And that is that he had to suffer the awful, bloody death of the cross to redeem me and set me free and give me a new heart and a new life. Not a better life, a new heart and a new life. But there are many people that don't know that. Do you know that many of you, and maybe all of you, who are sitting in this room, are among some of the most educated people that I know? Yeah. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? What do you mean? I mean, I haven't been to college. Some of you maybe here, maybe you haven't even graduated from high school, but are still with some of the most educated people that I know. And the reason why is because you've learned what this book says. You've been listening to it. You've heard it. You understand it. And you are convinced that it's true. And oh, what a blessing for you. The blessing of education. There's a second blessing I want to mention to you right here in these verses. Timothy, men continue in the Word. That is the scriptures that you have learned. From a child, you've been learning the Bible. Go back to that verse in verse number 14. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And notice now, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Listen to this next phrase. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, here's what happened in Timothy's life. Timothy not only got educated because he had been taught the Word of God. But not only did he receive education, but he received salvation. Did you know the Word of God, the Bible says, made him wise unto salvation? That is, all that he'd been learning from the Bible about the sinfulness of man, all they've been learning from the Bible about the existence of God, all that he'd been learning from the Bible about the need for a blood sacrifice to atone for our sin, all that he'd been learning about from the Bible about this coming Savior, that is the Messiah who would come and suffer, who would be wounded for our transgressions, that is all that he'd been learning from the Bible, that his mother had been teaching him and that his grandmother had been teaching him, was laying a foundation in his life. That is, it was making him wise. So that one day, ladies and gentlemen, one day here he came. That day that finally somebody showed up in that little town of Lystra. It may have been the very first missionary journey. It may well have been that the Apostle Paul, here he comes on that first missionary journey. God the Holy Spirit said in that church service when the leaders are gathered together at Antioch and said, "Separate to me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I've called them to do." And they laid their hands on them and they prayed for them and they sent them out to invade territory where the gospel had never been, to plow up new ground, ladies and gentlemen, that had never been plowed with the word of God. And they went, they began to preach, and they got to the little town of Lystra, or in that area of Lystra and Derbe. And it's probably in that area on the first missionary journey that there's a young man there that's been taught the Word of God, that's been educated in the Word of God, that's been hearing about the existence of God and about the sinfulness of man, that's been hearing about the blood atonement, and has been hearing about the coming of the Messiah. And listen to me now, his mother and his grandmother knew, and they were convinced that what they've been hearing was indeed the truth. And here comes Paul, and here comes Barnabas, and they come preaching that Jesus is the promised Messiah. Jesus is the one who was born in Bethlehem as Micah prophesied. And he is the one that Isaiah was preaching about that would become the atonement for our sins and would suffer in our place. He is the one that is the seed of the woman that was prophesied about in Genesis 3:15. He is the one that is the Lamb of God that all of these other lambs were only a picture of. It is him. It is Jesus the Christ, the one from Nazareth who died on a Roman cross. He is the Savior. And listen to me now, this young man Timothy and his mother and his grandmother, when they heard that news, when they heard the gospel about Jesus, they were convinced in their heart that he is the Christ, he is the Messiah, he is the Savior, and they embraced him, they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, the Bible tells us here that they experienced salvation, the salvation that is through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That is, the salvation that comes through faith in Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you that salvation is a gift of God that can only be received by faith, and that faith resting in the person and work of Jesus Christ. In other words, this is not salvation that comes through religious exercise. It's not salvation that comes by joining the church or going through some kind of a religious rigmarole. But it is salvation that comes when a sinner, broken over their sin, realizing their lostness, believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him. His work on the cross and his resurrection the third day as atonement for their sin and redemption for their soul. Do you know there's a word of God that prepared his heart? It really was. It was the word of God that made him wise unto salvation. This faith, saving faith, is not just simply believing the facts about Christ, but it is receiving him personally as Lord and Savior of your life. It's when God brings you as a sinner broken to the point that the only one that can help you is Christ and what he did on the cross. That's saving faith. Saving faith is not putting your trust in a preacher or in a church or in a religious exercise. But it's when God brings you to the point that the only one that can save you is Jesus. And that alone by what he did on the cross when he died for you on the cross. And when God brings your burdened, broken soul to the point of resting in Christ alone and believing in Christ alone, it is right then and right there that salvation takes place. And that's what happened in Timothy's life. And do you know that what got him to that point is the Word of God? Did you know the Bible tells us in Romans 10:17 that faith, saving faith, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God? Did you know that when Peter was writing about the new birth, about being born again, in 1 Peter 1, verses 23 and following, he says that we are born again by the Word of God, by the incorruptible seed, the Word of God. It is the Word of God that brings us to the point of real conversion. That's why Paul had to go preach the gospel. That's why you and I have to be bold witnesses. That's why we have to do everything we can to get our family and our friends that we're concerned about under the Word. Because it is through the Word that the Spirit of God operates to bring us to the point of real saving faith. Let me just remind you that it is only the truth of Scripture resting in what has been revealed in the Bible, that is the grounds or the foundation for saving faith. In other words, it is not your feelings that is the grounds for saving faith. It is not what I say about you that is the grounds for saving faith. But it is what God has revealed in this book about Jesus and what he did for you on the cross. I remember struggling so hard. Oh, I was lost, and as you all know, for many months I was under conviction. And at times the conviction was awfully heavy on my heart. The awareness of my lostness is what I mean. I was convinced that the pastor that was preaching to me about being lost, about being a sinner and needing to be saved, I was convinced that it was true about me. That even though I'd walked that aisle as a little boy, that I still was lost. I'd never turned to Christ, never received him as Lord of my life. And I was completely convinced of it. There was no doubt in my mind. And convinced of my lostness, broken before God, finally, I found my way to the altar one Sunday morning. And it was there on the altar that all I could do was cry out to God. My pastor, I just came to the pastor and he turned me around. We kneeled down there in the front pew and I was just crying out to God, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. I was crying. I didn't care who heard. I was crying out to God, Lord, save me. I need you to save me. And after several minutes of crying out to God like that, finally my pastor, he interrupted me just a little bit and he opened his Bible and he just began to show me some verses from the Bible. Some of those verses are verses that you'd be familiar with. It'd be places like in the book of Romans where the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It would be verses in the book of Romans that tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And do you know that there in the altar, despairing over my lostness, broken over my sin, needing to be saved worse than I needed my next breath, do you know that, listen to me now, what the Bible revealed, those verses from the Bible that the pastor read to me, somehow, some way, my heart was able to rest in faith in what the Bible revealed about what Jesus did for me. And right then and right there, as I rested in the truth of his word, the battle was over, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, the burden rolled away. The assurance was present in my heart, and I knew that he had died for me. I knew that his blood was enough to save me. I knew that Jesus was enough. And I was saved. I mean, I was already, listen, I was saved so fast that I couldn't even enjoy getting saved because I was saved. I just looked back on it and it was already done. I don't know how to explain that. But my heart rested in him. Listen to me now. I'm so glad I had those verses in the Bible. Oh, what a wonderful door this book opened up for Timothy and for me and for you. That's right. Not only the door of education, but it opened up the door of salvation. It sure did. Aren't you glad we have this book? Man, that's why I delight in the Word, don't you? Because it's this book that has changed me and you for all eternity. And I love this book. Don't you? You should. You should. Because of the door of blessing that comes because of the Scripture. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I want to thank you for your word and what you're trying to say to us and reveal to us. And I pray, Father, for those who are here that have never encountered you, that God, you might operate in those hearts, or you might draw those individuals to yourself. God, I pray, Father, that you'd save that lost soul that's here tonight. God, that one that has heard the word and heard the word and heard the word and read the word, I pray for the Spirit of God to do such a work on the inside that they would know it's true. That they're a sinner and lost and undone. And the only hope is Jesus and what he did on that cross. God, I pray that you would so operate that they would be drawn to the point of real conversion tonight. God, would you manifest your presence among us? And God, I pray for your people, Lord, maybe those who are here, Father, that God have become so caught up in what's going on in the world around them that they've lost their desire for the Word. They don't desire it like a baby desiring milk. That God, you'd restore that desire in those hearts. God, the enemy is trying to steal it away. I pray that you restore it. God, would you help us in these moments for your glory? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.